deep breaths right now. Deep breaths. It's the Glossycast. It's Sunday morning. We just had a very vigorous conversation that's not going to make it to the podcast. Vigorous is the right word, right? Yeah, vigorous is the right word. It's Sunday. It is November 16th. Kim, with me is Mrs. Grumpy Pants, Kim Smith.
I'm stuck with that name forever. Good morning, Gloucester.
And Donna Adazzoni.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Yeah, Donna's here. We got a lot to talk about. I started yesterday, or 2 days ago. I usually write notes as they come to me throughout the course of the week of stuff to talk about. That's like 2 days ago, I had nothing on my page.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, you guys came in. You guys had a couple great topics, and we had a couple things happen over the weekend. I'm going to get a couple of the formalities out of the way. Congratulations to Pat Connett, winner of the 5,000 Facebook likes contest. We did a contest where randomly out of the last 50 liker people, I don't understand how Facebook works, but someone told me.
Don't ask me.
Pat Connett is the winner. She got one of these old school Captain Joe's hats that we made like 15 or 20 years ago. It said, "Eat this with a lobster on it."
Oh, I love that.
That was the very last one.
Oh.
Very last one. It's been kicking around. Kept kicking around. I got a couple extra made for me, not for the company that I paid for separately. And they've been just kicking around, and I got rid of it. Pat got the last one.
The very last one, yeah. That was fun.
I did not formally thank Paul Morrison for the limes that he brought last week.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to thank
him. Did you sample any?
I did sample.
You did?
Some. Yes,
oh.
I did.
In a vodka tonic?
Perhaps. yes.
Is that your smoking jacket voice?
Yes, that's one. Perhaps. Yes, I had a vodka tonic with one of Paul's limes. Thank you very much. And it was divine. So we had that. Also, another type of contest. Good egg story. So I think it was Saturday, last Saturday. James Fiello, a lot of people know him by Cuck Fiello. He's a Magnolia guy. He does copper work, you know, like the flashing on housings, I think, and mm-hmm. like around chimneys. And he makes these copper dory planters. And so I'm down the wharf on Saturday morning. He stops down, and he puts it in my hands, and he says, "I want you to give this for the raffle for the Paul Russo brain cancer. Raise money for that family because they're, you know, they're gonna have a big medical bills for that." And I thanked him and I said, "Thanks, Jim. Who's the one that's running the raffle so I know who to get it to?" I thought he just wanted me to be the conduit to get it to someone to raffle it. That there was a raffle that was already going on. He goes, "No, you do it." It's like, oh, and along with that, I turned white because I had like this fear. Like there's responsibility now that like, oh no, I hope this comes off well. And so I put together, I took a nice picture of it, put it on the blog, and props to Gail Perino from Gap Productions. They have the floor in the Blackburn building that used to be where Henry Allen's folklore company was. Her company Gap Productions and her personally donated $350. She's gonna get the copper dory.
Wonderful. That's wow. Great. It's beautiful. It's
very generous.
Right.
Very, very generous donation.
Yeah.
And
terrific.
She was the winner, and so there's money going to good things. And thank Jim Fiello for James Fiello for making the dory and coming up with the idea.
Yeah, great idea.
Really
another
nice.
Good egg. Right.
Another good egg. Yeah, he's
great,
like,
Donna.
He's a funny cat. He's get the old flip flow. He's like he's a throwback. Jim Fiello is a total throwback. Like old school.
My husband has a flip phone.
Yeah, your husband is in the communications industry and he has a flip phone. shall never understand anyone that's like in the communications industry that does not have access to
Skypes and does all that kind of stuff.
On a flip phone?
On his laptop, yeah. But he still has a flip phone and he doesn't care.
Oh, good. Well, good for him.
That's all right.
There's totally something to be said for not being tethered to like 24/7 to the information that can get that gets pushed to you on a cell phone. Yeah. Very good. More kudos goes to Donna Artizzoni, the 1 Hour at a Time gang, and Clean Gloucester, which is
Amy Kerr,
and who's the crazy lady, the one that Amaral.
Patty Amaral. She's part of the 1 Hour too.
She's been.
Yeah, she started with us.
She started with.
Yeah.
Crystal Daly, this woman, they sent us a thing about the Oval.
Playground,
and said, "Oh, we're going to try to clean up the Clark Cemetery
in the first parish burial ground."
I forwarded because this stuff goes into the Good Morning Gloucester at Yahoo email address. I forwarded it to Donna. Donna took, and Amy Kerr took it from there.
Yep.
And so what happened?
And then we these two women, one from Lynn and one from Ipswich, have been coming up here because they love Gloucester, and one's a historian. Comes up to start cleaning the brush out of the Clark Cemetery, especially because that's way in the back. They have done a remarkable job. But as in all, kids party up there and light fires, and you know, so there was a whole bunch of trash. So yesterday, that was the first thing we did, was picked up all the trash. Melissa Cox disassembled the fire pits. She was awesome with the shovel, you know. And as we were going through this cemetery, I have to tell you, I am like obsessed now with trying to make sure this stays well. There were headstones from the Continental Army.
Wow.
That's a Revolutionary War.
Right, that's amazing.
What was the numbers on it? 16 something?
Well, 17. Well, the Continental Army was the Revolutionary War.
What,
so what, 1775.
What was the earliest headstone? The earliest one, I think, was
1697.
Wow.
There was a 1662. They're going to be going up on Good Morning Gloucester. I went back yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Took photos of the headstones. I mean,
wow.
Some of them are broken. We're trying to find the pieces so we can get these tombs.
You have to carefully dig around.
Somebody else has to do all that. There's actually tombs that are with who the people are on there. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps because when you see things like they served on the USS Colorado, the U.S. Vences, those are Civil War.
Did you see any, could you read any of the names?
Yes, I have. Lots of names can be still read. One of the things that affected me, too, was how young babies were and children were died.
Well, that's,
during, you know, the 17th, 1800s.
Yeah. They died at birth.
They died at 1 and 2 years old. And they was also one that had three young children who died from one family.
Well, did you know that childbirth was the number one cause
of women's death?
Women's death.
The babies.
Right. Oh, really?
Childbirth and then burning by fire.
Yeah.
Because of cooking around fireplaces with, you know, they were all like open fireplaces. That's what they cooked in, open hearts. That's what they cooked in front of.
Christ.
So what we're hoping to do, and I'm putting a shout out to landscapers who want good karma to come back to them, is to help us clean out the invasive brush. So these beautiful headstones can be replaced.
Did you mention there's a lot of knotweed up there?
Knotweed.
Japanese knotweed.
It's just very invasive. But the military will replace the military headstones.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to get a hold of somebody from the Civil War. Well, not from the Civil War.
Right.
But, you know.
A Civil War representative.
We got the Ouija boards up?
Yeah, really. To be able to replace some of the Civil, because I think the Civil War was a very interesting part of our American history. I'm a history buff anyway. And they will replace them for free. And we're taking pictures of the names. So maybe some family member who said, that's where my grandfather was buried, or my great-great-grandfather was buried.
Oh, that would be true.
And that's also tremendous. That we heard yesterday that when the Rebecca went down at Norman's Woe, some of the people were buried up there, and they're probably in unmarked graves.
Interesting.
So I'll tell you, it's beautiful, it's sacred, it's respectful, and I'm really hoping that we start to keep our cemeteries from getting in disrepair. I mean, you know, there's nobody there anymore to put a flower.
Right.
But the amphets put flags on all of the...
They can get in there? Was it so bad that you couldn't get in there?
At one point, I guess, in the back of the Clark Cemetery, yeah. It was all brush. These two girls, women...
Why don't you tell the listeners, where exactly is the Clark
Cemetery? It's on Centennial Road, Centennial Avenue, right before the bridge. So there is a, you know, right as you're going up towards George's.
Yeah.
It's on the left-hand side if you're coming down.
Oh, if you're coming from the boulevard, it's on the left-hand side.
Yeah. So it was spectacular. I'm overwhelmed with how beautiful it was. And I'm hoping that some landscapers, you know, they can contact me.
With a truck.
To help bring out the brush.
Oh, we got it. So that's good.
Yeah,
good
it was awesome.
Well, so you also had some...
Looking forward to seeing the photographs.
They're going up today. It's not easy to take because...
Well,
It's very emotional.
I'm all goofy.
It's tone on tone.
I'm a goo girl when it comes to stuff like that.
It's tone on tone.
Right, and also when I saw Isabella Babson is buried there. So she was born in London, died in Gloucester. I think died in 1862, before the Civil War. So anyways, but if anybody wants to help out or just, especially we need landscapers who have chippers and things like that.
Chippers. Yeah, so you also had another story about the revitalization of Magnolia.
Magnolia is happening.
On the rise.
On the rise after that horrible fire, all the people, I believe, have found housing. Everybody was so wonderful, the Innovation House, let people stay there.
Yeah. Oh, they did?
They did.
Oh, wow, that's
wonderful.
Awesome.
Animals and all. So yesterday I went to the Magnolia Women's Club holiday fair to take photos and participate, and I bought some stuff, and it was crowded. It was fun. They had beautiful things there.
People were really shopping early.
Now, is there new shops coming in Magnolia?
And now we have the Cheshire Cat.
The what?
Cheshire.
Cheshire Cat.
Cheshire Cat, like Alice in Wonderland. I speak a different language.
Cheshire.
Okay, you're still one from Alice in Wonderland. Okay.
Right, and the Cheshire it's got Cat. Antiques and decor. And it's on Lexington Avenue, and I went in into the opening yesterday, and I took some photos.
Are
and
they right going next up. To the new restaurant?
No, they're across the street.
Oh, okay.
Near Jennifer's hair salon and all that. Then there's very interesting stuff in there. And then there's the Magnolia Consignment Store that has kids' stuff. It's fabulous. Mm. I bought 5 things in there yesterday for $20.
Wow. 5 new outfits.
New.
Yeah.
With
because you know how kids are.
Yeah.
Tags are still on them.
Yeah.
Then there's also, I think her name is Jessica, and she does portrait photography. And she's opening a place there. So there's 3, and then 5 to 5, plus the gym.
The
gym is awesome, by the way. I go 5 days a week.
And that's plus cool. The 5 to 5 has brunch, right?
So 5 to 5 has brunch.
Do they have brunch on Saturday and Sunday?
I think it's, you know, I'm not quite sure on that, but it's now starting at 8 in the morning.
Because that would be a
people
fun...
people aren't waiting till 10 to have breakfast.
Right, because that would be a fun thing to do, like go have brunch there and then
you
shopping.
Have, so you have Dunkin' Donuts moving across the street.
Dunkin' Donuts is going to move across the street.
I have to mention this. Toby Pett mentioned to me that some people thought when 525 opened that it was going to be the death knell for the Magnolia Pub. He says the Magnolia Pub got the chef from the patio is now at the Magnolia Pub and says it is more popular than ever. That's what he says.
Because it's different than 525 has a different menu.
Yeah, that's true. Because it's bringing, you know, just bringing
it's
people
just
into the
bringing
area.
Bringing people in. And I think that... the 525, you know, the gym is sort of attached to the 525. If you need to use the restrooms, you actually go through. And it's.
Is that the gym you use now?
It's kicking. Yeah. Magnolia on the rise. It started and it's continued. The momentum is still there. It didn't die out.
No, and what I saw yesterday of the people who were going to the holiday show. What that does?
Is that girl's daycare? Is that
she's there?
Is it in the same space where her consignment stuff was?
Street.
Okay, yeah.
And also Walt's.
Walt Kalenda.
Yeah, Walt Kalenda. He's doing very well there too.
Where's his place?
Next to Dunkin' Donuts.
Wow, geez, that's his place.
Yeah, he does really well. He's got great stuff in there.
I gotta go in there because it looked interesting. I haven't been in there.
Very interesting.
Wow.
He's a really nice guy too. So
he's part of that awesome Gloucester group.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's also on the library board with me, and you know, I'm hoping to see.
Oh, well, want to hear an interesting story about the library board?
Sure.
Wait, is it the library board or is it the library? You're one of the.
The I'm a board member for the Magnolia Library.
Oh, the Magnolia Library. Okay, okay. I was thinking about something else.
The
Sawyer Free Library has community members. I don't know how they what the Lyceum or something that you are. I don't think it's board of directors, but it's there's like a bunch of people that are supposed to show up for the meetings, and it's like the board of directors, but they call them something else. And I got a notice in the mail last week. Did I tell you this?
You did.
Yeah, okay. So I got a notice in the mail that because I haven't been to any of the meetings for the past 3 years, that I by their laws that I have to be off of this, kicked off of this thing. And honest to God, I had no ideas I was part of this board of directors or whatever you call it. I had literally no idea whatsoever that I was even part of it.
Right,
I
mean, and you wouldn't have been able to go to any of them.
I would have been able to go anyway, but
that's just
maybe funny. Some in the winter, but
yeah,
that's so it's terrible. Yeah, that's great.
I love that. You had no idea.
I do a lot, you know, I do a lot.
Yeah.
Between Kim and I, actually Kim's done a lot more for the library. They seem to send their press releases to you more than me nowadays, which is I'm very thankful.
You're relieved about that.
I'm very relieved. But I like helping them out.
But also, let's just say, because I got an email from Carol, the former director, and she was like, we heard that you guys don't want our press releases anymore. And we said, oh, no, absolutely not. We love getting your press releases. We're happy to
post
it. Who
said that?
Carol Gray. And I said,
I love Valerie. Valerie Marino is like one of the greatest people. She's been with the blog from the beginning.
She's awesome.
Yeah, I hope they don't have that impression.
No, I assured her, and then I started getting a new flood of
them. Good.
So, but I assured them we're totally happy to always post for the library.
Yeah, we love the library.
Mm-hmm. No matter what. No matter if they have, because sometimes what I did say was sometimes they don't go up if I get them, you know,
too late,
then I just don't put them up. But, you know, and then lots of times I get them because they, even on their constant contact thing, so you can't do this with a lot of them. I can just take the
copy and paste.
I can just drag it onto my desktop. A lot of constant comment
contact
things you can't do that with, but with theirs, I can.
Makes it more so much easier.
Yeah, and then so even if I get it the day before, I can pop it into the 6 in the morning post time. So
yeah,
we love the library.
Absolutely,
love
the library.
They have large print for their books.
No brainer to love any libraries are great libraries. Yeah,
Can I mention something before I forget? Because it wasn't on the roster. Is this Thursday night is the Passports Wine Dinner?
Okay.
Were you going to talk about that?
Well, I posted.
I saw the menu, but we had signed up like a week or so ago when you first put something up.
Is it the third Thursday every month? I forget what it is. It's something like that.
I don't know because we've never been.
It's a no-brainer.
Right, this is the first
$45, three-course meal, three or four flights of wine, and
it's a no-brainer.
And plus, even I noticed one of the wines that was listed, La Crema Chardonnay, I've had that before, and it's very expensive, and it's, you know, one of my favorite wines, and so we're very excited to try it.
Yeah,
fantastic. They have Chilean sea bass and all kinds of yummy. I have a question. Do they serve dessert with it?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain it's
because the dessert wasn't listed there.
And they always serve
I think that is a dessert. But
popovers too.
They always serve
popovers to die
for the wine dinners.
I don't know now, but I know that when I go to Passports, I'm so excited I get
popovers. They're so smart because the minute you sit down, they give you a popover.
Yeah, so you're not anxious and angry because you're hungry.
Right, because
I get angry when I'm hungry,
and you're like. You know, you're not waiting for like 15 minutes and then your bread doesn't even come. And then you're like, I thought bread came with my dinner. The bread
in the
never even showed up.
Warm.
So this week I've been talking a lot about electricity rates and stuff like that. So now a whole new wrinkle came into the fold. So for the business, I guess we signed a contract and the contract came up. So we're getting bombarded with the electricity suppliers that you can get lock into a rate for 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. And National Grid had sent out a couple months ago, they said November something, rates are going to go up 37% across the board. It's going to be a, you know, and stuff. So I went into panic mode and stuff like that, and we're fielding these calls, and the prices are really a lot, like crazy how much they've gone up.
You use a ton of electricity.
Yeah, for the pumps. The pumps for the electric, the cooler, the big cooler we have that keeps the bait cold. So I had an idea that if we could get a bunch of businesses together and say, we're going to go in as a group. You know, not that we're going to pay our bill together, but like we will
bring
all say we're going
to bring
this business
place.
To one of these suppliers. Right. Can you give us a little, you know, knock a bet off of whatever your best advertised rate is? Can you give us some money off? Right. I briefly talked to a salesperson on Friday, and they said yes, they could do that. And they were going to get back to me on Monday. In the meantime, this guy, let me see, his name is Arthur Bevilacqua. Sent in a comment about it saying that the price of electricity throughout the course of the year really fluctuates. Like, and he showed me a chart between like 9 cents and 22 cents.
Yeah.
That's a huge swing.
That's huge.
Huge swing. So, and generally it goes way up this November, December, January is obviously
the most used.
Right. So, I have to learn more, but I'm leaning towards tabling the whole locking in until next April when it goes way down generally speaking, and then lock in for do the same thing. Solicit a bunch of people to come in together as a group as a thing.
So you've been receiving those these advertisement stuff coming in the
not
mail.
So much advertisement, phone calls.
Well, I get the phone calls too, but I'm also getting. I should have brought one with
flyers,
you know, and they're saying you can lock in. I used to have Dominion, and then that contract.
Dominion.
What do I call it? She's Dominion.
Fucking beautiful. I used to have Dominion. I used to have Dominion.
I'm really intelligent too. It's really sad that I talk like this, but
you are intelligent. I was joking.
I'm intelligent, but I'm not really good with the English, but. They, you know, and then that could, like you said, your contract wore out. But we run a business out of the house. My electric bill is
skyrocketing.
I'm constantly. Yeah. But we did replace the track lighting with LEDs, and that's making a huge difference.
Really?
My mom had that Next Step Energy come out and replace all the light bulbs for free.
For free.
With LED light bulbs.
LED,
like the whole house.
Not the SFL thing, a CFL thing, because those are mercury.
They put the LEDs in.
And they are not the squiggly curly Q ones.
No,
they look like regular light bulbs.
Oh, see, that's, I think the last time I checked on it, they were still the squiggly Q.
Yeah, those are full of mercury.
Right.
Yeah, no, these ones
are. The LED, and they have a nice soft light. I use them above.
Can't tell the difference. Cannot tell the difference. And it's 10%, it's 90% less cost.
Yep.
So what was the program that your mom had come to the house?
Next Step Living. I'll give you the.
You know what? I saw them when I was waiting in line at the registry. They had a.
That's exactly who I contacted. Mm-hmm. So I was walking by there and I saw. So this is the thing. I saw the table.
Right.
And they have the display, and they have five different types of light bulbs, and one of them is the squiggly one, and the other ones. And there was a little sign, and I says, so I talked to the girl. I says, you know, what's the deal? She says, oh, you know, we'll come replace your shower head with a more efficient shower head. We'll come replace your light bulbs. I says, well, is it going to be the squiggly ones? Because the person I used to live with said did not want the squiggly ones in the house. And I could understand visually, they're not very attractive.
Well, the light cast by them,
and
too.
And if they break,
very ugly.
It's
so
not pretty.
She said, no, they have them now that they look like regular. I'm like, wow. Well, I'm like, you should have. I understand you have your table here set up with these different light bulbs, but people are probably a little reluctant to stop. But for all these, like, fussy soccer moms, you know what I mean? Like, you should have a big sign that says free with an arrow pointing down to the regular light bulb instead of the squiggly
the
one.
The squiggly one.
So that people understand that, because all these, because I can't understand anyone that wouldn't take advantage of it.
Free.
Like, the whole house. Like 20, like 36 light bulbs.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, you don't like them?
Right.
Take them out and plug your old ones back in. I mean, I'll tell you what the, you know, there's always something. They're gonna tell you that, you know, we could do this and this for you, also. And they're gonna try and sell you some other weatherproofing or solar panels and stuff like that. So you have to listen to like a 15-minute pitch. Yep. But you can tell them at that point.
But you could
tell them at that point I'm absolutely not interested in any of the other services. Or you may be interested in listening.
But
that's how they get into your place with the free light bulb.
MassSave does that too.
Yeah, it's a program of MassSave.
Right, because I had MassSave come.
I have been wanting to find out more information about having solar panels installed on our roof. We have like our front porch roof is the ideal roof for solar panels.
So it's not a lot of trees.
It faces south. There's no trees, and that's why I was, you know, considering talking to them was about the solar panels.
I had solar panels in Burlington. We had four of them. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
We were six people in one house, right?
So there's that.
Three showers going at the same time. Yeah.
So there's that. That's kind of wraps up that thing. The, I wanted to talk. So do we want to get into did you guys read the thing about the Gloucester clam? Kim, you know about this because you sent me an email. You said you saw the ads on the, she sent me. Do you see the ads on the Gloucester clam and they're asking for donations?
Yeah.
And I wrote back, no, I just saw the clam because I look at it and it didn't faze me. But so after Kim had emailed me, I got two. With it, this is all within the course of like 6 hours. I got two more emails. And one person sitting across from me in the office, a guy came in and said, "Can you believe they're asking for donations?" And I'm like,
"Yes.
What the fuck? Why do you care? Like, I don't understand. Like, why this bothers you so much? Like, it like he was like questioning and like the motive and like they're like, why do they like do you believe it and like." I'm like, it's their prerogative. I'm like,
it's a business for them.
No, it is not a business for them. They're just trying not to lose money. Right. You know what I mean? And if they put a few dollars in their pocket, like, why begrudge it? Like, no one, they don't understand the hours that go into these things.
No.
And never mind the hours.
Nobody understands.
And the way they worded that post was,
it was very,
if you would like to donate, then
Feel free to. No pressure to donate.
No pressure to. We're not going to look at you funny if you don't.
Don't.
You know what I mean? But it was like, it's totally a thing. Like there are so many people out there that begrudge.
Yeah.
They can't stand the idea that anyone might make money.
On many different levels.
On the blog, on the Gloucester Daily Times, personally in people's lives, like they can't, like, you know, there's the, you know, the hotel, like, you know, the people, oh, these rich people are going to build a hotel. Like, oh, they're terrible because they're rich people. You know what I mean?
It's they
like,
work
right, they, right.
No, rich. Absolutely. But this is
for a reason because they work so hard.
But it's literally, it's like there's people can't, there are certain people that cannot stand the idea that someone, they think money is evil or unless you're losing money, you're a bad person. You know, and
there are people who want to interfere with everything too. It's that get off my page. Don't sit on that cactus.
Well, I admire their response to it all. They were very gracious,
cool.
And they were cool about it. And they were like, "Oh, you know, we're so appreciative of people that do want to and stuff like that."
Focus on the positive.
But you know, I was talking to Jim Dowd, and he's like, "We don't care, you know." If people want to come, they have a different attitude about comment section.
Yeah.
They're like, if someone writes nasty comment, they're just like, fuck you, we're not going to post it. You know what I mean? They're just out of, they don't give, they feel like,
they don't give them any audience.
No, they give them no
audience,
they're like, no,
right.
We're not going to like,
right.
Like my thing has always been, I felt like you have to be, like if you don't put their comment up, as long as they're not being really rude to you, then it's like you're trying to manipulate the whole conversation towards what you're saying.
Right, towards the positive.
And theirs is, and they're saying, well, I don't care about their view.
Right.
Yeah, because we're not saying that. Who said that I have to publish their view? Well, we're putting out our comments out there. If they don't like our mind speak or whatever, then fuck them. Go read someplace else. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's just a different way. I'm not saying it's what one way is right or one way is wrong. No, it's just a total different way to go at it.
And again, we said that. It's not what they say; it's how they say it.
Yeah.
Will trash something if it's just so like.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Over the top, but everybody's allowed an opinion.
Right. I agree. Even some negative things that people have written towards me, I approve it. It's just when somebody is very vitriolic and very rude and just,
or if it's completely off base and wrong.
Off base,
and then
right.
you don't feel like it even justifies, because then you have to write a response to it, and you're like, I'm not going to waste my time with a response to a bunch of untruths.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to talk completely out of your ass, then.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the energy to correct it and then state that, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I do not have the time.
I had a situation with the football post. I knew. Listen, I know that I understand the whole concept behind protecting kids and stuff like that. The way I came at that thing is, it's very sad to me that it looks like we're going to lose football because of these concussions and stuff like that. And the reason why I'm really sad about it was because growing up, now, I was not a great athlete. I was when I say terrible athlete, on a scale from 1 to 10, I was a 1, maybe a negative 1. I was that bad of an athlete. Except for tennis, I was an okay tennis player, right? But any real, you know, contact sport, I was terrible. And for a bunch of different reasons. I was super crazy skinny. I had terrible vision and didn't realize it until till fifth grade. So, playing baseball, I never really saw the ball. It was like coming down and like kind of hit me in the head. You know what I mean? And so I was like, I was way behind. But anyway, enough excuses. The fact was, I was a terrible, terrible athlete. But having said that, all of my cousins, and we were close family, you know, like we met at my grandmother's house every Sunday morning and stuff like that for coffee. And there's all these, you know, and it was very male environment, you know, hardworking men. All the boys played football, baseball, you know, everything. And, you know, what I remember from football, even though I got my ass handed to me every single week, and be honest with you, I didn't get a ton of field time because I was that bad. Right? But what I remember from it was I was just...
Your cousins are in school?
I'm talking about Pee Wee football. I didn't play with my cousins because even though my cousin Frank was my same age, like he was playing A-team football and I was C-team football because I was so thin and light, I never made it to A-team because by the time you couldn't play football anymore, I didn't have to wait to play A-team football. That's terrible. So, but what I remember from playing Pee Wee football was the camaraderie and the team spirit and what you learned from all that and how much we looked forward to football Sundays and then watching football with our family and you know, on the holidays and college football, pro football, Pee Wee football, afterwards going all, everybody's all dirty and sweaty and wearing their football pad, you know, take their top, you know, the shoulder pads off, but wearing their football, you know, pants and all the girl cousins and aunts were cheerleaders and we'd go to my grandmother's house afterwards. It's just this thing I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I see that it's going, but like, so then so I do the post, you know, it's really sad and stuff like that. And I feel like, you know, and a part of my sadness about it also is like I feel like insurance companies drive like all legislation and what happens in our communities and stuff like that because obviously so there are injuries, right? But there's injuries in skiing. It's easy to like put out like studies and stuff like that to cite how terrible football is, and then once the insurance companies get a hold of it. And once people start, you know, and then you get these groups of these hyperactive, politically correct people that get behind things. And then it ends up like, okay, we lost football now because it's just, because just like any corporation is, like if there's any kind of gray, we're going to err on the side of not getting sued. So that's, you know, yeah. this business practice is going away, or that's going away because it might be the right thing to do, but because, you know, like the midget pickle, you know what I mean? Like, oh.
Well, do you really think that we are going to, as a nation, we are going to lose it, or do you think it will just take a different form?
I don't know, but I don't think we're going to lose it as a nation, because I think down south they're not going to stop playing football. But I think up here, or that we're and for the people in the comment section, they're saying this isn't a liberal issue. They didn't read the article, because right. the whole article. In the New England Times article said it's these liberal people that are pushing, you know,
right.
that are pushing this
that
agenda.
To the coaches, like I put in a comment, coaches have to be responsible. They can't say to a 12-year-old, you're going to work through this when you have a concussion.
You cannot work through a concussion.
Right. You can become very serious.
The education is obviously something that's important, but I don't know where it's going to end up.
You're falling off a swing.
Right. No, well, that's
on bikes, they said, you know, bicycle accidents, skiing. I like it. So, and this is the other problem I have. Like, these same people that will rail and rail, because right now football is the hot topic to mm-hmm. hate with right. these groups. And when I say, oh, it's not a, and for these people to say, this is not a liberal thing,
right.
like, you see, all the commenters are all the who's who in the Gloucester hardcore liberal, you know, group. Yeah. It is. Right? So you could pretend it's not a liberal, like a liberal agenda, but it's a liberal, but this is what, and I think it comes down to, these are the, like, it's probably on NPR. It's probably on, you know,
I think you're seeing the NFL realizing there were people who played through concussions that have had issues.
Bad things happen.
And it has. Yeah. My daughter got a concussion playing flag football.
Right.
The ball hit her in the temple. She was out for 3 weeks with sleeping and
really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very serious. But the doctor took it very seriously, and they CAT scanned her, and she just took it. She couldn't drive.
Right.
But it wasn't like the end of flag football.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was. But they took care of it.
I'm sad. I'm just sad though. I completely recognize it. I hope. That they come up, maybe they come up with better equipment. There's more education with the coaches and stuff like that. But I just can't work
through pain. You know, yeah. I was at a hockey game, and I love hockey. See, I love hockey.
Hockey's probably worse than football, but it's not as popular. So
well, in hockey,
but how come they're not taking aim at hockey?
I mean, look at hockey players; they get their faces sliced off, they go get stitched up, and they're back on the ice.
But see, I guess in defense of that, I guess devil's advocate on that is, you know, your face is going to heal up, your brain may not
heal up. Right, exactly. Oh, I totally agree, and I think that I've been at Little League and soccer when my kids were small, and there was a coach that I would not let my kids be with, because if a kid was sick to their stomach from dehydration, he still made them go out there. Wrong.
See, all these coaches. See, here's the other thing,
right?
Like these. So you see, like every week, you see these coaches that are getting fired for yelling at the kids. I hate that. I don't know. There was something about like being part of a team and like the coach. Like if you're messing up, the coach climbing up your ass, mm-hmm. and you getting in line and understanding that you're part of a team, and like, you know, that you're supposed to, you know, do the right thing. You know, if you're
not when you're five,
right?
But
no,
when
not
get
when
into
you're five.
Middle school,
right?
Middle school, right. You have to try out. You have to be best. Before that, I think anybody who wants to play should be able. To
But play. High school football, I feel like the coach should be able to swear at you. And not get fired for swearing at you.
And does that happen? I don't know.
I was a kid, the coach, if you were messing up, they're going to climb up and down your ass. You know what?
You don't want to treat a child abusively, but if you want that child, especially a child who has potential, you want to bring that potential out in a child. But, there is a line that's drawn as far as...
When I say swearing at a child, like not swearing directly at a child, but like, you know, motivating a team and using like, you know, aggressive posture and say, like, mm-hmm. come on, you know, be you know, toughen up, play tough, you know.
If you don't want to play tough, don't play.
Yeah. My son played soccer, and his team was the second in the state in their division. And he he just had an extraordinary soccer coach. And but there was a real difference between Coach Curley and then some of the other soccer coaches that we would see who mm-hmm. would like degrade the players mm-hmm. and yeah. be and humiliate them and stuff like that. Coach Curley never did that, and yeah. he just had the love and adoration of the team players.
Yeah.
He's but a great when you're guy. At a little yeah. league, my girls played softball, track, soccer, you know, swim.
Yeah.
What I would listen to some of the parents sitting beside
oh,
me.
Oh, the parents were the parents.
I remember saying,
the parents can be so.
Yeah. I want my kids to go to Bates. They're in seventh grade. Yeah. They're out there just playing. Leave them alone.
I don't know. I feel like.
And you want
I just
kids
feel like
to be tough,
I feel like there's just all this like they. I feel like they want. I think they. I feel like they want boys to be girls. You know what I mean? I feel like I do.
Okay,
I just feel like
this is what
no, I feel like they. I feel like you know they make these okay. kids. They're making these kids so, like so
afraid.
Freaking.
Can I say something? Like I think a lot of the early education is geared towards girls. And I noticed this when my son was younger. Like, I never heard from my daughter once if recess was canceled. Like, she would go to the library and she would be happy as a clam. If recess were canceled with my son, he would practically come home in tears because he needed that time mm-hmm. to get out there and run around. And he would say, the lunch ladies canceled recess because it was sprinkling out, Mom. Yes. Can you believe it? It was
drama.
Sprinkling out. And I just felt like, you know what? I saw very early on that he had just such a different energy that, than my daughter, and he needed to, like, when he'd go to school in the morning, I'd say, you know, what? Run to school to yeah. get some of that energy out. Yeah. And I think that in a lot of early education especially, it's very geared towards girls. It's 90%,
arts and creative.
Right, it's all 99.9% women teachers.
Yeah. Well, that's been forever. Though.
Right, but the yeah, boys, yeah. But you used to have, gym was part of every day, vigorous
yeah,
exercise.
Aren't they taking gym out in a lot of places?
Yeah, vigorous exercise was just part of every day, and I just don't think boys, I just don't think they're getting what they need. The boys learn in a very hands-on type of way. And
girls do too, because I have four girls,
yeah.
and they all learn differently.
Yeah, everybody learns differently.
And they all—I was very athletic, though. My kids all right. skied and skated,
and I'm not trying to make stereotypes or anything, but I do feel like education. You know, if a boy is, you know, why are so many young boys diagnosed with hyperactive disorders?
Because their father's
No, because I think because they're just a little more wiggly and a little more active, and, you know, it's just my opinion.
I think sports
yeah, they,
in school
I think
is probably...
I think they're diagnosed because they want to dope these kids up.
Yeah.
They want to dope them up to calm...
To be quiet and just to toe the line.
Instead of letting them get out the aggression right. on the football right. field.
And, I mean, I think sports...
Or soccer, whatever,
soccer,
anything,
right.
basketball.
Keeps kids right. in school, too. Right. As they get into the high school, some kids are not A students. Erica went to school with a set of twins. She was brilliant.
I skated.
He was a C student. He played hockey and baseball. Kept him in school. Went on to Northeastern. Graduated with honors. And played baseball and hockey all the way through Northeastern. And I always say sports kept him from dropping out at 16
oh,
years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it kept him because he knew he wouldn't be able to play if he wasn't in school.
Yeah.
And I love the kids in sports. I just
hate the idea of like...
You don't want them to be wussy.
Doping up these kids.
Yeah, me too.
As a way out of having a big parent and stuff like that.
And, you know, if you do have an ADHD child, they need to have behavioral therapy, not just
once you get these kids on those drugs, it's like, aren't they constantly for the rest of their life trying to adjust the stuff? They can get them off of those
things?
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to take them every day. It's not like taking high blood pressure medicine.
You don't think that they become... They don't have...
Adderall could be a problem for adults, but Ritalin and Vyvanse and all that, they don't have to take them every day. And some of these kids, there are kids who do need something.
Yeah.
And you see it in their parents. The wife says he's acting that way because that's how you act, and the next thing you know, they're both being tested.
Yeah.
But they don't have to take them every day, and some kids only take it when they're in a school environment, and then they don't have to take them the rest of the day.
Yeah.
They just have, you know, it's all like high blood pressure. Yeah. But I think the kids need, if you're going to put a kid on Ritalin, you need to also take them to a behavioral therapist so they understand what to do when their brain starts to say, I need to do something else. They learn how to
focus.
Talk themselves into
being calm.
Right.
Yeah.
An acceptable behavior.
Let's talk about something positive, big time positive. My hero, Tom Ellis, once again reminds me.
Yay.
Once again, he reminds me why he's my hero. Every time I talk to Tom Ellis, he's a big thinker. Like everything he's done is outside the box, grand.
They're wonderful.
All balls on the line. We're going for this. Like, we're not trying to get a little bit of money to do something small. Like, one time I talked to him, he's like, We're going to do a floating ship that's going to have 200 students on it, and we're going to go out, Joe, and we're going to teach these kids. I'm like, where the fuck are we going to get the money, Tom? But, like, you know what I mean? It's like, he doesn't think small.
Right.
He thinks big. Right. And he gets after it. And so the latest thing is between him and Newbar and this kid Colin.
Colin, right.
Science.
Science all around us.
Science all around us is the latest. The Kickstarter project. Kim just did a post.
They made it.
They're two-thirds of the way or something?
They're more than two-thirds.
25,000 out of 35,000,
right,
was it?
Yeah, so when I wrote the post earlier in the day, they were at the two-thirds mark, and then I posted. My post went up at 6, and then I got a text, well, actually, we've hit 25,000. So then I put up another little post about that.
Yeah. What I was confused about, because Tom Ellis came and talked to me about this a couple months ago, or a month, whatever it was, and he said, Joe, we're going to do this thing. I'd like your support on it. And he was the one, he kind of pitched it to me and said, this is what we're doing. But then I started getting emails from Newbar Alexanian. Do you know
that's the boy, isn't
he? No,
Newbar is the filmmaker.
Okay. He's the filmmaker, photographer,
How are they in partnership? Who is the guy? Newbar did this, though, right? Because I think like the Kickstarter thing is through Newbar's company, Tom Ellis' company.
From Walker Creek. So.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure how the partnership works, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I know Tom is going to at least be in, and I'm not even sure if all five of the pilots are going to be on the schooner Lannan, because I know
it's science.
Right,
they didn't say the schooner all around.
Right,
it's
no,
the science
it's not. Like, I think that might be the very first one, but there's also going to be an aviation one, and so. I don't know exactly. I didn't ask business-wise how the partnership is.
I guess Newbar Alexanian is the one who did the Kickstarter campaign.
Because I got a thank you from him.
Right, because
he's been sending me most of the press releases lately.
Yeah. Right, because he's the one who's going to be doing all the work, making the film.
Yeah.
You know, so that...
35 grand for 5 episodes. That's 7 grand an episode.
Yeah, that seems very modest to me, thinking about post-production. You know, all the costs in post.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to do
sound,
it right.
To do it right, editing, sound, I don't
research
know.
Research and make sure everything is correct.
Well, I think that sounds very reasonable. I don't think anybody's going to be, like, making money on it. I think it's just the...
People will have, like, those same people that busted the clams balls about it, they are the same ones that would think that, oh, he's getting rich off of $35,000, but that's not the case. Yeah,
no. God help us.
No. Yeah. Especially for, is it 7 episodes or 5 episodes?
I think it's five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no.
Have you listened? I haven't watched any of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The kid's adorable.
He's got an English accent?
He has a slight English accent, but he's very articulate. He's very creative. These little interviews are not scripted. He is just going off on his...
Tom Ellis, when he came down and said it, he says, this kid is...
Yeah.
He is
like
something special.
Like, he's very cute.
I'm not big into people selling kids as a...
Yeah.
But this kid is very natural. It's not like you're trying to make a star out of somebody. He's just a very... He's very passionate about it. I think it's partly his idea, if not all of his idea, to teach children
science. I think it was the kid's father's idea.
His idea. Yeah. And they're just, you know, we don't see anything about the mom and dad. That would be interesting to learn more about them, but...
They must be pretty cool to raise this kid.
He seems like a very intelligent, focused...
I'm going to post another video, the one where he talks about aviation that I found on their Vimeo page. it's funny. Like, he's just talking about all that, you know, well, I'm 5/6 of the way through this aviation books, you know, series of books. And I'm like, oh, okay.
He uses fractions.
Yeah.
I should have brought this up at the beginning of the podcast, but we're gonna do a little contest for the people from the Gloucester Cyclocross.
Paul Boudreau.
Okay. Stopped by. He gave me one of these awesome Rafa Supercross shirts. Donna had was modeling one
as a donor. When I was directing traffic,
she got one as a donor.
Say that again, Donna.
Directing traffic. Telling people where to go.
Donna loved that.
So this it's a really cool logo shirt. We'll put a picture of it on the blog. Kim already took a picture, and the one out of the first 10 people that subscribe to the Gloucester Cast, not to Good Morning Gloucester, but to the Gloucester Cast, and not the Facebook page, the Gloucester
Cast. Okay.
One of them will be picked randomly for the Rafa Supercross shirt, and they can come down and pick it up down the dock. So,
great.
Another little contest, giving back.
Well, people will see in the photo how pretty the colors are.
It's beautiful.
It's a very attractive design. It's a
high quality. The material is high.
It has sort of a 50s.
Very retro, yeah.
Like
a
dino colors.
Yes, very much so.
And Paul Boudreau, he's a nice man. He actually gave my daughter Erica, who works in the school where his sons go, he gave Erica a patch to thank me for volunteering that day.
Aww.
There.
Very nice.
Yeah, with the Supercross.
He came by the other day. He's like, oh, geez, I just went by the field. It says it looks fantastic. It's all grown back in and everything else.
And green.
So you know what, Donna? You go back that way.
Yep.
One day this week on a nice sunny day or whatever, can you take pictures of that field? So we can put them on the blog and say to all those people that always complain about this thing that it ruins the field forever and ever. That event was only about a month ago.
First of October, I think.
So a month and a half ago.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
The pictures and the fields are right back to where they are. So just for posterity's sake, I want to have that.
Yes,
when all these people say that it ruins the field for years and years and years, we have the proof.
Please.
I want that. Thanksgiving is coming up.
Yes. My daughter's coming home. Yay.
You know, Kim's daughter is coming home. I want to talk turducken. Is anybody making a turducken this year?
No, and I never will make a turducken.
And you never will. Well, that was the point of that thing was...
That scares me.
It's out, right? But turducken is now out. I haven't heard anyone talk about turducken. But like 2 years ago, that's all anyone spoke about was turducken. And so what is the new Thanksgiving gimmick this year? What do you think it's going to be? Is anybody talking about a certain thing that everybody has to do?
No, but I did hear something recently. I can't remember what it was, though.
But it was something.
It was something.
The new Thanksgiving.
Right, whether it's brining or frying or whatever.
There's always going to be something.
But I can't remember what it was. I'm sorry.
Well, us Italians always have lasagna.
With your turkey, right?
That's all I care about is the lasagna.
My grandmother, the store, that's what she used to make.
My mother used to make the ravioli, the blonde ones, we used to call them, the buttered ones, and the red ones. And she would count them, and then when we sat down to eat, she would count how many each of us got.
So that would be like Howard Frisch with the blueberries, the blueberry pancakes. For the blueberry pancake breakfast for the Rotary.
He
would count
the
blueberries. He had to allocate the right amount of blueberries per pancake.
Well, my mother just didn't want us all eating all the blonde ones. We used to love those.
What do you mean by blonde?
They were buttery.
They
didn't have the sauce on it. They were just butter, and she would... And they'd be all crispy and everything.
What, butter with turkeys?
No, butter on the ravioli.
On the ravioli. She's talking about ravioli.
I went to
butter
lasagna to ravioli.
As opposed blonde butter instead of...
buttered ravioli.
No zugo?
Yeah. No, it was just butter raviolis, and we'd have the red ones. We used to call them red as kids.
Yeah.
And then we'd have blonde ones, and she would broil them. You know, she made them all by hand.
Oh, so then...
And then they were crispy.
When I went to Bentley College,
so
there was a place called the Chateau.
I remember the Chateau.
Since I went there, there's two or three more locations for the Chateau. There's one on Route 9.
Isn't there one on 93, too? Up in Methuen?
There may be. I'm not positive.
I remember going to
Chateau. So it was this old school in Waltham, that one?
Mm-hmm.
So old school Italian restaurant, they serve you like a loaf of Italian bread, really awesome Italian bread, soft, like white bread in the middle and the butter. All you could eat.
Garlic.
And then they had all pictures of famous Italian people framed on the walls, like burgundy walls. It was like, you know, with like the gold framed.
Yeah,
total throwback, awesome place. I mean, my buddy, and it was reasonable, and it was packed every night, and we would go there, me and my buddies, and they had fried raviolis that were out of this world. And to this day, no one has fried raviolis on their menu, and it drives me crazy because I love them.
So
they were crunchy, kind of.
They're crunchy.
And then you have the sauce on them, and then you put some grated cheese on top of that. You cut them and you eat them, and they were like, so delicious.
They make me hungry.
You could anybody could make those. Just take the raviolis and fry them or saute them in the pan.
I don't know if they fry them in a pan or a friolator.
They weren't fried in a frying pan. These were like, I think they were submerged in like a fry daddy.
But very quick.
Yeah.
You know, because there was no grease to them.
And there was like a breading on them because they had like a crunch. There was like a coating around them.
Now you're making me hungry.
Oh my God, they were so good. So good.
I remember going there because Digital was in Waltham and we used to go to the Chateau.
Is that where you met Rick?
I met Rick at Digital in Burlington, though. We stared at each other.
So wait a second. Let's go back. You worked in, there was Digital.
Waltham.
And wait. What year was it that you worked at there?
1980.
And you
79.
And they moved. Did they move the whole office?
I started in Burlington in the small office. Rick worked in Waltham.
Okay, so then you moved to Waltham. You worked in Waltham.
Rick worked in Waltham. Then he moved into Burlington. When we moved into Burlington on Mall Road, that's where I met Rick, and our eyes met.
Really?
And the
was it scandalous?
No.
You both work in there.
Yeah, but it was okay. I was glad to meet somebody.
Because back then it was like there were swingers.
When I got divorced, I wanted to make sure I met somebody I knew there, where they worked. You know, because you get nervous about meeting new people.
Yeah, a little older. How old were you when you got divorced?
I was 27.
And you had the two
kids. Oh, so that's still pretty relatively young.
Right.
Yeah, so when I decided, you know, and I changed my name, we had an all-in-one mail, it was called, and it went to Don Radazzoni again. Now I never changed it anyways. So all of a sudden, I'm getting all these emails from other guys who worked at Deck wanted to take me out. And I'm like, you know what?
How did they know?
Because I changed my name.
That's funny.
And Wayne also worked at Digital. Yeah. Wayne was in Waltham, too.
Your ex-wife.
And then he was in Littleton, you know, but
there you go.
That's where we met. And you want to meet somebody that you know kind of where they work and, you know, I don't want to meet somebody I don't know anything about.
No, well, you had two girls.
Everybody,
buckle your chin straps because the next couple weeks there is probably going to be 5,000 church fairs. We're going to get all those press releases.
And
they all are going to be on the same days because they can't figure it out. Year in and year out, we get these same press releases, and everybody's church fair is on the same day. So who had the one last one?
Holiday, though, the women's club had it yesterday.
The Magnolia Women's Club, the only smart one had enough to have it before everybody else.
And then we have the Magnolia Historical Society Art Show, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th. Rocky Neck, 5th, the 6th, the 7th. The Mac, 5th, the 6th. No, I think it's just the 6th.
I can't even think about Christmas shopping until like December 1st.
Oh, and I want to get
some stuff.
I want to get it over with so bad so
you
I can
do?
Just relax and not sweat it.
I got a lot done.
You do. Mm-hmm. I'm just like.
I have a list of my favorite things that I keep for a post that I was going to do around Christmas. But the thing of it is I kind of feel bad about it because it's stuff that online that you'd buy online, and I really like to support the local retailers.
Yeah.
I got to get out. You know what I have? Yeah. That reminds me. I have to get out and do all those videos.
Well, that's why I did a quick little thing on Pauline's the other day because she had a ladies' day.
Yeah.
Oh, early. So too. I went over there and I took some photos and Paul. She's got great.
But every, you know, do you know how long I've been doing that? Every year, going up and down Main Street and trying to get every single retailer to say what their number one Christmas idea
that
is.
That is so awesome that you do that.
It's pretty cool. It's but yeah, I got some. I have some things that I think that like.
That's very cool.
That like my favorite things, like the coffee maker that you got me, the Bella Bella Vita pour over coffee maker is
Bonavita.
I think is an. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said Bella.
Yeah.
Bonavita. Pour over coffee maker is one of them. The that Krups coffee grinder. It's only $19.99.
I've had a Krups coffee grinder for 20 years.
It does not surprise me. The thing is built like a little tank. It's $19.
Right.
And it like and you can buy whole beans and crush them. And if you tell me that you don't recognize the difference between freshly crushed greens and beans and the aroma that that gives off compared to like already ground.
Well, I could smell it when you were doing it.
Right.
It's like so huge difference right there. Like, but there's like there's some other things that like.
Like what else?
Huh?
What else?
There's this certain coffee tumbler that is really awesome. Coffee tumbler and. Some electronic devices and stuff like that that I think are really good, but they, you know,
well,
no-brainers.
Speaking of electronic devices, I was looking for like an Instamatic Polaroid-type camera to give to Olivia for her wedding, and then I came across this really cool thing that you're going to be able to attach to your cell phone, which will print pictures. It's like a...
Instantly,
right. So you just attach this device to your cell phone. It carries, you know, like the one that they've the prototype can only fit one piece of paper in it, but eventually
so it's printing right from the phone.
Right from the phone. So it's going to be able to hold 20 to 30 pieces of paper. They'll probably be like a little bit bigger than business card or however.
Is it color or black and white?
The picture that I saw was color.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it was, they think it'll be like around $99. It's a company in France called Print, P-R-Y-N-T.
Oh, we'll put the link in there. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked awesome. But there are so many fun, like, Polaroid-type cameras out right now.
I remember them.
Yeah, Fuji makes one.
And it comes with the, are they disposable, or do you have to buy film for it?
You have to buy film for it.
And places are carrying the film as well?
Yes.
Or do you have to get it online? Are there camera shops that are carrying
this? I'm sure places like Hunt's are carrying it, because they actually carry the camera, too. So I'm sure they have the paper. But, you know, you can get it on, I'm sure you can get the paper
I imagine it's improved greatly from when we had them.
Yeah. Well,
you know, they started to...
My daughter...
Dwindle, and they were...
How cool were those Polaroids back then?
I still have one.
I still have Polaroids, because every time we did a photo shoot, we took Polaroids first.
To see what it was going
to
look
like. Yeah, to see what it was going to look like.
And the tongue, I used to say that it stick its tongue out when the paper came out of the camera.
I think that they're still, you know... I think they still have a really good use as a photographer. Like, I wouldn't mind having one now.
Yeah.
You get cameras. Because when you look in your little screen, you know what I mean? It's just not the same as seeing the composition and things like that. I don't know. I think it would be fun to have one. I know it would be fun for my daughter to have one at her wedding. To have.
We
like
did it for the bridal showers.
Yeah. To have
so they had
pictures.
Pictures right away.
Yeah, we dropped those Kodak throwaway cameras, one on each table, and then collected them, got all the pictures developed and stuff like that.
That's a fun idea.
Yeah, it is a fun idea.
Yeah, that's sweet.
It's amazing what you see.
Yeah, because there's always the fun table that do some really inappropriate things.
And then you got to watch out for the video. I used to listen to, we didn't have a videographer, but you could hear remarks people were making about the bride or something. I'm like, I hope you're editing that out of here.
That's fun.
I am.
So is anybody looking at anything, any events coming up that they're looking forward to?
Oh, Taste of Magnolia.
When is that?
Friday night.
This Friday night?
At Magnolia Library. And I put
That's a good take. I went to that last year.
Yesterday, the list.
I saw
your
list of
the restaurants.
Did you see
all the... I think Ryan and Wood may be there, too. She wasn't sure.
That's
always
a good take.
And the restaurant that took Alchemy's place. What's the name of that one?
Short and Pretentious? No. Oh, Pignoli.
That's going to be there.
Oh, really?
But there's a ton of restaurants. It's a great take-in, the Taste of Magnolia.
Yeah, no, it is. I went last year. It was fantastic.
It's really good. The wine tasting, And I love the Beatrice.
Oh, you know what? Here's a shout. We could do a shout out to all those restaurants that show up for these things and give their food away for these different community things.
And like, it is.
You know, you see the same ones. You see Wally's Bistro. You see Stone's Pub. You see Passport. You see all these things that, you know, and they're giving away trays and trays of food.
For Julia. Lobster Land gifts. The more the little waiter drinks his wine, the bigger your plate gets.
But so that's Friday night.
Friday night, November 21st.
Do they have a press release? I haven't seen that yet.
I put one up yesterday.
Okay, good.
And I'll remind people. Also, I think the Gloucester High fundraiser is Friday night, too.
For what?
For the kids going to Italy.
Oh, that's what's her name?
Lillian
LaGrasso, the queen of Facebook.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Queen of Facebook.
She works really hard on that.
Oh yeah, she does. But it's not for the whole high school. It's for a certain group of kids.
Right.
And they're gonna go to. They go to Italy. Their kids are gonna
be
able to.
I think it's a great thing she does, and her kids aren't even going this year.
I think it's a fantastic. Her kids aren't going.
No, they went last year.
Oh, that's really super.
So
that makes
really
it even that more awesome.
She really works. Awesome. I saw her the other day. I heard her the other day on Main Street, so I knew she was there. She's a riot.
What
events are you looking forward to?
I'm always looking forward to when Donna and everybody else constructs the lobster trap tree.
That's going to be the Saturday. Thank you, Joey, for that. I'm just getting rid of the black and blues from last year. That's a week from Saturday, so that's the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We do that.
Okay, so that's
I'll
coming
be
up.
There.
We got to start telling people right now.
I know. I got to call David Brooks and have him give me a good.
So you got to start telling people to block that day off so they can come down and help.
Because we do need help.
Yeah,
right.
It's
because
it's a lot of work.
Is there something that I could do who can't lift those? Is there something
string lights?
They string the lights.
No, but straighten out the lights a mess every year.
Yeah, when we do that, but putting up the tree is like almost 2 days.
Yeah,
because there's 200 some odd lobster traps, and they're 4 feet.
Right, I know.
And God help me, they're bricks in them. Hello,
right.
I'm only 5'1".
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's fun though. I mean, you get the with the
so they
tie.
Oh, this Friday night I should mention Shop Rockport. They have Rockport. This is interesting. Oh. They're doing something on Friday. Is it Friday the 6th?
Oh, was it
last Friday the 9th? No, it's coming up. I just got the press release. I'm going to go right now to it because I want to make sure we mention this, because I found it interesting that it was going to be on a Friday night. Right here, Shop Rockport event Friday it's not December 5th.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's December 5th, but they're doing it on Friday, which I. I think it's a great idea because it doesn't compete with 5,000 other holiday and other fairs.
Saturday. And you can make an evening of it.
And I got the press release. It didn't say. Like, I'm thinking that they must. Friday, December 5th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. downtown Rockport. I wonder if that's the night that they do the Santa comes
Santa?
In and on the lobster boat.
Let me think.
4 to 9 p.m.
Santa usually comes on Saturday. But maybe I'll have to look because I like going to that.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they want to. A lot of times they want to extend the shop, give people a different reason to come downtown and shop.
Yeah.
So maybe I could have Sarah, one of the Rockport people. Actually, Nicole would be good to go down and talk to some of those people and get more details about. Because it just says it lists all the places. Enjoy a festive evening of holiday shopping, but it doesn't say they're going to have special discounts or what. So we need to look.
And I'm
more
not sure about dining either.
What is open for restaurants?
Well, they say our favorite Brothers Brew is all listed on the thing.
And probably
you could probably get some bacon donuts.
Bean sprout or whatever.
But you know,
yeah.
We can't get to a podcast without mentioning Brothers Brew bacon donuts.
Isn't that funny?
Hey, another fun thing before we go to take your kids to your little kids. Is go over to Marshall's Farm Stand.
Oh, I say it every week and I never get
with
there.
With the alpacas. If I go over there and I say, Frankie, come here, Frankie.
He comes trotting over.
Trotting over, and the horse is there, and the donkey, and it's fabulous.
I have to give a shout out. Thank you for saying this because it reminded me. I have to give a shout out. My favorite feature for the blog has been for the last couple of weeks has been Nicole's family thing on Thursdays. I have her do it on Thursdays.
Yeah, she's awesome.
The kid friendly
activities
activity picks of the weekends.
Yeah.
And, you know, she just does two or three. We're not trying to compete with North Shore Kid, which does an unbelievable job. They're really the go-to. But this just narrows it down for me a little bit. And so, like, she always picks these really good cultural things and
like
stuff like that.
Like, even Wheelock College's little theater she put, because I used to
went to that.
Yeah.
I brought the girls to that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we had to leave because Eloise, her hand, whatever. She had a little medical issue in the middle of the thing. We walked over to Children's Hospital.
For me. I used to work on that.
The pain, it was actually the strain. As she was in a lot of pain, but we were joking the whole time. It was like this really awesome bonding night with us because we ended up not getting out of there till like 9:45 at night and stuff. Uh-huh. And whatever. But the point is, like, these things that she's putting out are generally hits, big time hits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's tremendous.
So we went to Joppa Flats yesterday, and although it was really an educational thing, and I saw the girls kind of dazing off a couple of little spots, it was very educational, and they got to see, like, they went out and they picked all these berries and seed pods, and they stuck them to these duct tape bracelets. They reversed the duct tape so the sticky side is on the outside, and they stuck them to all this thing, and then they slid these things underneath the microscope so you could see them underneath the microscope.
What a great way to collect them, putting it on the... Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Very brilliant.
Duct tape. It was awesome. And then they had, like, this little treasure hunt. You collect all the letters, and then it spelled a thing, and if you spelled the thing, you got a little prize, you know, a couple stickers. But to kids, these stickers are like, you know, $1,000. So we had a ball. I went with the McElhenneys, and we had a great time. John McElhenney's kids are so cute, well behaved.
Stinking cute.
It's Ruby and Luke.
And then Dax is the baby.
Dax is the one with the big meat.
Yeah. Adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, he's named after Dax Shepard from Punk'd, the Ashton Kutcher show Punk'd.
Oh, really?
On MTV, did you ever see that show?
I love the fact they named his baby after that.
Yeah, that's what he did.
He's almost a year old, though.
I
think so, because I remember she was pregnant during the buoy auction or something. I'm like...
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought she was going to give birth right there. She looked beautiful. You know, she was just beautiful.
She's such a sweet...
There's so many things to do around here. I mean, I had my grandchildren last weekend, and Maddie, the 8-year-old, had an itinerary. We're going to go to Stage 4 Park. We're going to go to Lone Gulf for hot chocolate. Orange Leaf.
That's adorable.
We're going to go to Marshall's Farm Stand. You know, she had the whole sea glass hunting.
I got a list of things that I haven't done. I got Marshall's Farm Stand's on my list now.
The alpacas over there.
Yeah.
Dakota and Magnolia.
So what do you do with them? You look at them after that? What is it?
I'm sorry?
So you look at the alpacas.
Yeah, you go over.
Maybe you're lucky enough to see them take a dump, and then what?
No, they come right over to you.
You can pet them.
And
they don't eat you?
Yeah.
They don't bite your fingers?
No. And little Frankie was born. She was born in August, so she's still little. And she comes...
How do they know
her.
Not to bite you?
Hi, Frankie.
How do you know they're not going to bite you?
They don't bite you.
Are you sure?
I put my hand right in there.
They're animals.
Beautiful husky.
They're animals. They're wild animals.
Wild animals.
Animals want to eat you. That's my thing.
And you know what's cool?
They have been bred for domesticity for a long time.
And they go up on the rocks. And it's really cool to see them up on the rocks.
Oh, they're not fenced in?
Oh, they're fenced in. But every so often, I guess, they get out. But there's a huge, it's huge, but there's rocks there. And I love looking up there.
They can't charge you. Can they charge you and knock you over?
No. They're alpacas. Joey, you
wild
crack
animals.
Me up. Yeah. But in the hospital.
Nature boy.
You're really.
I swear, any animal that's out in the wild is just out there.
And I was brought up in Somerville, and I'm a goofball when it comes. But little Frankie knows me now, and I love that.
That's
he
very
knows.
Sweet.
He's very sweet.
They have very soft. What do they have? What is the thing about alpaca fur?
Soft.
Oh, it's something about
warm.
It's like one of the warmest.
Soft.
Like merino wool, alpaca, they have the same kind of properties. The wicking, they keep you dry and warm in the winter. And
very soft. Well, you don't have that woolly feeling.
Right.
Oh, that's going to be, that is going to be soft. One at the top of my list of places.
TBD.
Places to go for a no-brainer. If you are stuck. and you can't find a present for somebody,
TBT.
Man, woman, or child, you can walk into TBT Post and walk out with an excellent present for someone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Capes. Scarves.
Scarves, awesome scarves, not expensive, but look like the cashmere, look like $150 scarves for $20.
Are they made out of alpaca?
Everything is alpaca.
Oh. And the sweaters for little kids have little cap sleeves. Gorgeous stuff in there.
Gorgeous,
and I like people. Mm. I like Mario and Richard. They're very wonderful. Nice.
I wonder if they're going to close down their Rockport store and just stay in Gloucester.
I don't know.
They're doing good. I heard they're doing well.
They're doing well. They've done well by me. Yeah. I mean, I go in there and buy the gloves. They have little kids' gloves. I mean,
love
kids' sweaters with
the capes.
Pockets.
You got to check out the cape. Kim, you'd look good in one of these capes.
Yes.
Like the shawls and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I love knitting with alpaca because it's so soft. When you knit with it, it doesn't, it's just very soft, and it leaves a lot of oil in your skin, too, when you knit with it.
Interesting.
It's nice.
It's a fun store. I'm
TBT Post getting a lot of love. Good morning, Gloucester. We're going to wrap things up.
All right.
Oh, man. Good one.
How long was this podcast?
This may be the longest one. 1 hour, 15. Just pick 15 minutes.
75 hour and a quarter. Chatting? Plus the other chat?
Plus the chat before the chat.
Plus the chat before the chat?
A lot of chat.
Shocking.
Well, it's really not that shocking when Donna Artizzone's involved.
Well, I guess I procrastinated another Sunday about not painting my mudroom today.
No painting for Kim.
No painting today.
See you on another podcast in the books.